A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
EU exit.
My business.
Plan.
Exports.
The facts.
Leaving the EU may mean your business needs to prepare for change. Even if you think your business won't be affected, it's worth double checking. To help you prepare your business, you can find guidance and up-to-date information at gov.uk/EU exit.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Get up-to-the-minute news flashes, instant reaction and expert analysis from some of the biggest names in Westminster.
Order.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio, coming to you live once more from Westminster following yet another night of shame in that big building behind me. Yes, indeed, we are in the tent of shame, but that has to be the palace of shame, doesn't it? Over there last night, our MPs managed to excel themselves by voting down every possible means of leaving the European Union, while at the same time refusing to pass a vote to remain in it. So where does that leave us then? Former Tory Cabinet Minister Oliver Letwin was king for a day, but even he couldn't manage to find one unifying method of leaving or remaining. It was a resounding no to a permanent customs union, no to a second referendum, no to a Labour plan, no to Common Market 2, no to revoking Article 50, no to no deal, no to a managed no deal, and finally, no to the EFTA European Free Trade Area. Does anybody down here understand the use of the word yes? By any means, we're going to try and find some Tory MPs who might actually know the answer that is yes. Y-E-S. Yes, it means in the affirmative, in the positive, that's something I want to do. All we now know is what they don't want to do. Even the offer from Theresa May to throw herself under the bus didn't convince enough MPs to vote with her withdrawal plan. And it's becoming more and more clear that despite whatever Theresa May says, Brexit does not in fact mean Brexit at all. Today, we're going to try and navigate our way through precisely what happens now with the help of a collection of pundits and MPs. But as ever, the most important people in the equation are you, the callers. We've had some great first-time callers this week. Let's have some more today. You're the ones that make all the common sense in the world. 0344 499 1000 is the number. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, on Talk Radio, live from the Tent of Shame on College Green in Westminster.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
So we've been down here all week. It's now Thursday and we have got precisely nowhere, okay? On Monday, we still didn't know what was happening. On Tuesday, we still didn't know what was happening. On Wednesday, we still didn't know what was happening, but we hoped something would happen last night. Guess what? Nothing happened last night. So once again, we still don't know what's happening. And we don't even know whether we're going to be here tomorrow, because we don't know what's happening tomorrow either. I'm getting sick of this, right? I don't know where we go. I think we should check in with the countdown clock of shame to see how far we have got away from nothing happening on Brexit. No, doesn't sound like we're getting any closer to nothing happening, so we'll leave that for a minute. Let's talk to a man who may know something about what's happening, or not. He is, of course, Ross Kempsall, Talk Radio's esteemed political editor. Ross, a very good morning to you.
Good morning,
welcome,
Mike.
So, what's happening?
Well,
nothing.
The
right?
Short answer is nothing, and the reason for that is last night the House of Commons voted 8 times no to every possible Brexit option.
Yeah.
The House faced 16 options.
I'm going to just keep saying no in lots of
Let's
different languages.
Call the whole thing off.
Yeah. Nine.
And they said 8 no times, absolutely,
right.
Completely rejected every possible iteration on the series of indicative votes. So the process that was supposed to deliver clarity from the House of Commons on a way forward delivered no clarity at all, apart from it's clear that nobody can agree on one of the options.
I think even Oliver Letwin, who said he was disappointed, perhaps the understatement of the night, didn't expect there to be quite such negativity, because we heard yesterday from a few MPs who were talking about how this might help Theresa May's deal somehow.
Yeah.
We would get some idea of what people want. Those who are looking on the bright side are sort of saying, well, because the one or two votes that actually only lost by small numbers, like the customs union, maybe that is an indication that that is something that we could go with. What do you make of that?
That's the argument that's being used, and people who are, for example, supporting a second referendum are saying that on one of the amendments, which is about a confirmatory vote, public vote on the deal, which was backed by Margaret Beckett, that was the motion on the indicative votes which incorporated the Carl Wilson amendment from Labour and was backed by the Labour front bench, that actually had more votes in the House of Commons, you could argue, than for Theresa May's deal on the previous meaningful votes. Now, it's not really comparable to compare across votes like that in strict terms, but all of these arguments are being used, all of these arguments are being made to suggest that the idea of the permanent customs union and the idea of the second referendum did best out of last night. Now, we're going to get another round of indicative votes probably on Monday.
Right.
So you would expect...
Well, let's hope they're a bit more indicative than this lot.
Well, exactly. You would expect that in that case, the House of Commons would be able to resolve more clearly between one of these options and perhaps find a majority for one, but that's not the same as then finding a majority on a division in the House of Commons. And there's another factor you have to remember here. All of the cabinet last night were told to abstain.
Well, I was going to say, because the numbers here, for example, on the permanent customs union, for 264 against 272, that doesn't add up to 650, even for somebody with a rudimentary understanding of mathematics.
Correct. And that also means that not every MP expressed that preference. So when you factor in the other MPs who didn't vote for these options, you may well end up with, on the actual vote in the division in the House of Commons, the idea being rejected.
Yeah.
Because we know, for example, the government would whip against a second referendum at this stage. They continue to stick to that policy, although the world we live in, things change, but we know that at the moment that is the government's
Corbyn
position.
Actually voted for the second referendum, I'm told, last night, which is an unusual sort of new thing for him, isn't it?
Yeah, so he has come a long way, I think it's fair to say, on that journey, but at the same time, it's not as strictly saying we're voting for an in-out second referendum, which is what most people want when they think of or campaign for a second referendum. I mean, the people who are involved in that campaign. And it would be a referendum on Theresa May's deal. So it would be a confirmatory vote on the deal to confirm the deal. Not clear what Labour would do, for example, if the deal were then rejected by the public. And the deal could also be just confirmed on that referendum. So you could be allowing the deal to pass. So these things work in degrees of opposition. Likewise, another factor in this is, yes, as I said, second referendum definitely would be opposed by the government at this stage, but so would a permanent customs union. So the other option which is being talked about, and that was much, much narrower, there are only a handful of votes in that, eight I think, on that margin. That particular option has been comprehensively rejected by Theresa May, but it is the one where there could be some movement potentially in the future, because that soft Brexit option, it's always been considered that Theresa May might offer that to Labour to get them on board.
But wouldn't she also have to take it back to Brussels and say, we now want to sort of add this on as a sort of rejoinder or something to the withdrawal agreement? And they would then have to consider that, and having said that they're not going to change the withdrawal agreement, they'd have to change it.
Yes, so the political declaration would also have to be changed under those circumstances. Yeah. So the package would have to be renegotiated. The package, that remember, we don't just have the withdrawal agreement and the poll deck anymore. We have the other additional documents which Theresa May secured in an attempt to bring the Brexiters round. All of it would have to be reinterpreted and redone to get to a permanent customs union. And that, you know, Labour have considerably suggested previously that they would be open to backing this, but at the moment that would be a big shift for them as well if they whipped for the permanent customs union, because it would mean Theresa May's deal would go through, and that still would result in a deal which wouldn't meet Labour's other tests. So they're saying, we cannot have this deal unless you meet six tests. The other five tests wouldn't be met if there wasn't a permanent customs union. Labour is asking for a new single market relationship. That's not up for debate, clearly, after last night's results. So it wouldn't come up to Labour's other tests. So it would be a big movement for them if they backed it.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Coming up, we will take loads more of your calls. We will tell you what Andrew Leadsom's saying. We'll let you know whether there's been any breakthrough. We're hearing that an awful lot of Brexiteer MPs from the Tory side of things are starting to move towards voting for Theresa May's deal, even though a few weeks ago they said they would never do such a thing. Jacob Rees-Mogg now saying he would vote with it, providing the DUP goes along. Also some Labour MPs who have said that they would join in as well if it gets to be a close-run thing. Steve McCabe's with me, Labour MP for Birmingham Selly Oak. Steve, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us on this auspicious day. I've been saying all morning that really we're in a place where nothing is happening fast. Is anything happening?
Well, it's a good question. I think the leader of the House, Andrea Leadsom, has just announced that they're going to bring back the Prime Minister's deal for a third time tomorrow.
Yes, that would seem to be the drums that we're hearing. We had Bob Seeley here just a moment ago. He was suggesting that might happen. So that means, or that tells us, that they, because we know that they wouldn't do that unless they thought they had a chance of winning it, that must be they must be now thinking they've got the DUP, mustn't they?
Well, I find that very hard to believe. I think it's just another suicide dash by Theresa May myself.
Mm. Well, she's had plenty of those, and she hasn't even managed to convict those either, has she, really?
Well, look, obviously, if they do have the DUP, it does change things pretty dramatically. But, I mean, I think at the moment, it's one of these situations where she may have pulled a few Tories towards her with the prospect that she will go. But any Labour MPs who are thinking of increasing the numbers, I think, will have been pushed away because they're now confronted with the prospect that so we get rid of her, we risk possibly somebody like Boris Johnson, so the paper's not worth what it's written on.
But are you telling me that Labour MPs would actively not vote through the deal in order to keep Theresa May in her office?
Well, I think they would actively not want to vote for a deal if the next stage meant Boris Johnson could tear it up and subject us to another 2 years of what we've just had.
But you can't really argue that that's in the best interest of the country. In the best interest of the country, surely, to get the deal through, isn't it?
Well, not if stage two means somebody like Boris Johnson trying to move us right back to a position where we leave without a deal, because all he would do is fritter away the two transitional years, creating a divide so that we ended up without any settled arrangements.
But you wouldn't expect the Tory party to let you guys choose their next leader, would you?
No, and I'm not suggesting we should. I'm suggesting that the risk of the strategy she's employing is it may just push Labour MPs away because, you know, someone like me would certainly not be tempted to vote for that if I thought the prospect was I was going to let somebody like Dominic Raab or Boris Johnson take over.
But what would you then convince yourself to vote with? How would you vote for the government's deal, for Theresa May's deal, without... Well, you can't really say that you'd vote for it under any circumstances.
Well, I think the only way to vote for any version of her deal was for her to go and have some kind of acceptable caretaker Prime Minister. That I don't think is going to happen.
No.
I think that's pretty
well,
obvious.
Like I say, she's not going to give you guys that opportunity.
No, I accept that. So, I mean, I still think the best prospect is something like... I mean, you saw the other night, Kenneth Clark's amendment was, what, 8 votes short of a win. That's the closest to the Commons getting a majority.
That's what I'm now calling a new definition of the word majority. It's only losing by 8 votes. It's fantastic, isn't it? Let's talk to Ross Kempsall, who's our political editor, with some news on what has been just said in the Commons.
Yeah, just in the last few moments, we have had a business statement from the leader of the Commons, Andrea Leadsom. The government has tabled business for tomorrow. The Commons wasn't supposed to sit tomorrow. Tory MPs were alerted 2 days ago that they had to be on a three-line whip, calling for a debate on a motion relating to the UK's withdrawal from the European Union. So that means the Commons will debate Brexit tomorrow. Now, that is not the same thing as saying that the meaningful vote is definitely coming back tomorrow, but there will be business in the Commons tomorrow on Brexit. It does look like the government will be having another go at meaningful vote 3 on the back of that, but that's not exactly the same thing. Mm. The shadow leader of the House, Valerie Vowles, who we can just see is at the dispatch box at the moment for Labour, is asking the government whether that is what that means and is asking for more clarity, saying, is this in fact the third meaningful vote? Andrea Leadsom, for the government, did say that whatever the government brings back, it will be in compliance with the Speaker's ruling. Sources are not sure about whether this is the meaningful vote tomorrow or not, but we are certainly in the position that the government will be debating in the House of Commons tomorrow with the opposition Brexit in some form on a government motion. Can't really see anything else that would be, apart from an attempt at a meaningful vote, could be some other way around.
Yeah.
So, for example, part of the withdrawal agreement bill, that's possible in order to get an extension through. So there are alternatives, but it looks like there is a move towards some kind of movement tomorrow in the Commons towards a meaningful vote.
Well, Steve McCabe, who's with us now, Ross, has pretty well kiboshed any idea of Labour joining in with the meaningful vote and going with Theresa May on the basis, quite simply, that they don't really wish to see Boris Johnson taking over the next stage. So maybe her kind of very dramatic promise to throw herself under the bus has actually rather backfired on her. What do you make of that?
Well, it certainly brought around some Tory rebels. So if that's what her intention was, to that extent, it's worked. It hasn't brought around the DUP yet. It hasn't brought around the remainder of the Tory rebels yet.
If she can bring all the Tory rebels around and the DUP, she's okay then, presumably.
Well, regardless of whether... No, she's not. She still needs Labour votes, even if she brings around the DUP. So if you have the DUP who come on board, the formula becomes the number of Tory rebels plus one is the number of Labour votes that Theresa May needs. Uh-huh. So if the DUP come and join her to vote for the withdrawal agreement and say there are then 12 Tories or maybe 15 or maybe as many as 20 who never move, reject the withdrawal agreement for a third time...
And Andrew Bridgen will be one of those, presumably.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely suggested that. There are other names, for example. You would be looking at Mr. Bridgen, you would be looking at people like James Duddridge, Anne-Marie Morris, perhaps. You'd be looking at Tories, of course, perhaps even Dominic Raab, one of the potential leadership contenders who this morning suggested that he wouldn't be backing the deal on this occasion. There are enough, John Redwood, there are many Tory MPs, 12 more than you need, plus one on Labour votes, so you still end up needing a lot of Labour votes. I can't see Theresa May getting more than about 8 Labour votes on the deal if it comes back tomorrow.
Well, of course, Stevie, she may not get any.
No, I think it's possible she may get 8, but I imagine the government whip strategy at the moment is exactly that. It will be to try and squeeze down the number of Tory rebels to about a dozen or less, and to try and amplify the number of Labour votes to about that figure. I imagine that's exactly what they're doing. But unless you've got the DUP, that's all kind of pointless, isn't it?
Also, I mean, we've spent many, many hours in this tent debating the fact that, you know, some people, particularly those who voted Remain, feel like the majority for leaving was not that big. If you end up in the Parliament with a majority of one or two, which is also pretty small, to be honest, is that actually really going to be workable in the sense that are people who have lost that vote not going to just go along with it? Or are they going to be thorns in the side for the rest of time? Are we going to literally see stalemate politics really running this country for years to come?
Well, I think there is a real risk of that now. I mean, I suppose if it was to scrape through like that, that is the best possible argument for having some kind of confirmatory public vote, because at least you could then say, well, you know, it's been through every conceivable stage. Yeah. This is where it's at. I think there is a sense that the whole tactics adopted by Theresa May has led to a position where this country could be in stalemate politics for some time. And frankly, I fear if there was a general election, it might still end up with that. All that might happen is you'd have a few more colourful and extreme figures at the margins.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. There's certainly no suggestion that one of the major parties would emerge with a large majority in any situation, really. And you're quite right, you would probably have a few Tory MPs and Labour MPs with small majorities getting kicked out, and you might, as you say, see more fringe figures coming in, maybe more representatives from somewhere like UKIP or the Brexit Party or something like that. So you'd actually have even maybe more of a hung parliament you got now.
I think that's a distinct possibility. Yeah. I think we are in a very difficult phase. And, you know, I mean, I come back to this. It's too late now, but her opportunity was to go to appoint a kind of consensus building caretaker. We might just have got through this and we might just have been able to move on. But you know, the same issue has been at the centre of this since day one. The Prime Minister has decided that the needs of the Tory party are greater than the needs of Parliament or the country, and you know, it's become that choice. You either put the country first or your party first. And
but doesn't that depend on where you're coming from? Because there are those who voted Remain who think putting the country first means not leaving the European Union and keeping that from happening for as long as possible. Those who want to leave the European Union think the best thing for the party is either to leave with her deal or to leave with no deal. So there's no consensus even on what's actually good for the country.
No,
that's the problem.
I don't dispute that at all. There are ardent Remainers and Leavers who will never shift you no matter what happens. Right. But I was saying, I think her tactics have been all stages driven by the needs of her party rather.
They may well have been. They've certainly been wrong, whichever tactics she's chosen. None of them seem to have worked at all well. But you voted last night, Steve, I understand, for the Common Market 2, Customs Union, the Labour Alternative and the Confirmatory Public Vote. Of those four things, you were saying earlier, probably the Customs Union is the one which had the least opposition, if you like. What can be done with that, basically? I mean, can you take that to Theresa May and say, can you tack this on? to the withdrawal agreement, because Brussels might allow that to be done, even though technically it's a renegotiation, if you like, but they're probably quite in favour of it.
Well, I think that is an option. I think the difficulty with that is, you know, I think there have been plenty of attempts by people to persuade her to listen to that kind of approach up until now, and she's shown absolutely no interest whatsoever. I mean, this is the first time I can ever remember Tory MPs, well, you know, the government party MPs, walking about saying the problem is the Prime Minister's just got a deaf ear. I mean, that is all you hear from them. And this is what they think has been happening for weeks on end now.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the problem. She doesn't really seem capable, as more and more members of her cabinet disappear. I mean, she's going to run out of people to put in the cabinet pretty soon, it seems to me. But, I mean, she doesn't appear to... She seems impervious to... I mean, most of us, you know, are quite single-minded. You do your job because of the fact that you have a belief in something. But there comes a point when surely you have to say, well, this ain't working. And so I'm going to have to now try and make another way to make this work, and it may involve compromising something with somebody else. And she just keeps repeating ad nauseam, it's my deal or you know, the highway.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Now, it's all happening down here today. I'm delighted to say we're now joined by Justin Greening, former Cabinet Member, former Education Secretary, MP, of course, for Putney. Very good morning. It's a beautiful day.
It's gorgeous. What
happened last night? Nothing happened. You had a chance to do something and you didn't.
It was complete gridlock.
Yeah.
As I predicted back in the summer last year, that all we could agree on is that we don't agree.
Yeah.
And that's the issue, is Britain's got to go somewhere. We can't keep going around in circles in Parliament anymore.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, we're told now that there might be a third opportunity to vote for Theresa May's deal. There may now be a second chance to vote for Oliver Letwin's indicative votes on Monday. You know, from the public's point of view, it's just going on and on and on endlessly with no result.
Totally agree. And we've got to take a decision. My attitude's always been, if it's obvious Parliament, with the best will of the world, let's face it, we've tried for 3 years nearly to try and reach a consensus. But if we're not going to, there comes a time when you have to just admit that and then work out how you get a decision otherwise. And my attitude's always been, if we just aren't going to get consensus in Parliament, rightly or wrongly, then you've got to find some consensus in the country and go back to people. And I know that there'll be a lot of people saying, we've already had a referendum. I get all of that.
They don't all sound like that. That's a bit unfair, to be honest. Pinky and
perky. Maybe that's
voice.
How I would scream at the radio. But in the end, we've got to find a direction and find it soon, because there are a ton of other issues that people are sorting out for our country, and we're not getting onto any of that whilst we stay obsessed and focused
on Brexit.
But
I'll say to you what I say to every MP that ever says this, and that is that why, and the people say this to me, that the people who voted to leave the European Union say, why should we have to win a referendum twice to do something when the Remainers only have to win one? And that seems a fair question.
No, I totally get that. And I think the problem lay in the referendum itself, because we knew what remaining meant, but leaving wasn't clear. And actually what we spent 3 years doing is trying to debate and decide what leaving means. And I think the problem for the Prime Minister was that when she finally came up with a plan, it's not what a lot of people who voted for Brexit wanted. And she's not changed it. And that's where the conflicts come. And my concern actually with the plan, which is why I voted against it, is that it's not going to work in a democracy if a government does something that no one wants. That is the one thing that, you know, isn't a sustainable route forward. I think if people want a hard Brexit, then they should be able to have it. But I genuinely have not seen a route through for them doing that other than a referendum.
And what kind of Brexit do you want?
Well, I've said I want to remain, but that is almost not the point. My constituency was 71% remain. I've represented them in Parliament. But I really do think it's intolerable to go down a route that actually nobody in Britain wants. I just don't think it's sensible either.
But it's the first referendum that has been rejected by the Parliament, effectively, which is what you're doing. You're rejecting the result of a referendum. You didn't reject any other result of any other referendum. You didn't reject the Scottish referendum or the one for devolution. You didn't reject any of the other. You didn't say to the people of Wales, actually, you're probably wrong to vote for devolution. You know, there's no precedent for this.
There isn't. And interestingly, part of the challenge also comes from what the public are saying to us. So when the deal came out, I have never seen a tsunami of correspondence and emails in from my community like there was in response to that. Everybody hated it. They hated it for different reasons. It was a bit like murder on the Orient Express. But when I talked to other MPs, they were all saying the same thing. People who voted for Brexit said, well, this just isn't Brexit. I mean, it literally is not Brexit. We actually lose powers. We don't gain them. And then many Remainers said, well, A, what's the point if we're still following all the rules? And B, if the people who won this referendum aren't happy with the result, then why are we doing it? And so we've never managed to get beyond that. And my view since the summer when that white paper came out was, because of a hung parliament, I could never see how the maths was going to work. And I just think I'm a practical person. So I'm disappointed that we are where we are, but I also know we've got to unblock it, and we've got to unblock it fast, and that's why I think in the end, you've got to go back to people.
And Ross Kempsall's here with us, our political editor. Ross, I mean, there is an awful lot of movement, you might say, in the bookies this morning about who's going to take over. Theresa May, of course, offered to throw herself under the bus yesterday. She's still standing, though, and the bus is not moving. So what are we doing?
Well, the Prime Minister didn't quite offer that under any circumstances. Of course, it's conditional on the deal passing. And even then, the Tory party is going to set its timetable for the leadership election. Downing Street sources were saying last night that's going to be after May the 22nd, which is the next date. But of course, once you take the lid off that particular question, you open up this huge beginnings of a leadership race. And we've had on this station in the past 24 hours various MPs already expressing their preferences about who they might want to see come next. An interesting development this morning, which I've just noted in the past hour or so, we've had big movements from Boris Johnson, from Jacob Rees-Mogg, from Ian Duncan-Smith. Tory Brexiters vehemently opposed to the deal, hundreds of times said they would oppose it, now backing the Prime Minister. Dominic Raab, one of the key Brexit leadership contenders, not doing that yet. He's been speaking this morning and he is still suggesting in his language that he would oppose a meaningful vote 3. Now, I think that it's very important to read what happens on MV3 for those Tory leadership candidates through the prism of an impending leadership election. Mr. Raab clearly trying to appeal to that rump of Tory Brexiters who just won't move, but there's only 20 or so of them now.
Yeah, there's not many.
So why you would do that before a leadership election, strategically not clear, but everything that Tory MPs do now who have that prominence is inevitably going to be read through the question of a leadership election this summer. So the Prime Minister already, you know, struggling with authority, struggling with the collapse of cabinet collective responsibility, struggling with a whipping system which is no longer operational, with a chief whip who constantly complains in private that the whips have lost authority, including telling the Prime Minister that she should go, now has opened up this question of leadership. So I don't see how this is going to go away.
Justin, how do you see the next few days going, even? Because, I mean, if we can see that some of these hard Brexit Tory MPs are keen to go behind the Prime Minister, there are certainly Labour MPs that I've spoken to who have said if we thought that vote was going to be a bit closer, we would move as well. So it is a bit of a waiting game. I mean, we're all sick to death of it, but, you know, can you see some way through for this bill, even though you might not want it to be the case? Can you see a way through for her to actually get a yes vote, finally?
I think the people to actually watch are the DUP. Mm. In a way, they're the kingmakers. And Jacob pivoted like 360 degrees yesterday between saying he was against the deal, then he was for it.
Yeah.
And now he's against
he's not
sure it again. Unless the DUP are for it. Mm. So they're the ones to watch out for, really. But I think at the end of the day, the issue I've got is I keep coming back to the fact that this deal, to my mind, isn't what millions of people who voted Brexit wanted. And that is going to come back and bite you, and you need a sustainable route forward. And as for Tory leadership, I mean, it's putting the cart before the horse. We've got to work out where we're going, to work out who the driver should be. And I think there is a real danger that if we don't actually bother to find out from the British people, then we might be just steering them down a road that they really don't want to go. And I just think that's wrong.
Well, the trouble is, it's a very divisive issue, isn't it? And so many people have become so vitriolic about it. And I worry that we won't recover from this as a country, that it will take a very long time for people who are hardcore on either side to actually understand somebody else's point of view. I've never seen such horrible things being said from one party to another. I mean, even this morning, we're looking at the guy from Vote Leave who organised the campaign saying that the hard Brexit Tories are like a metastasising cancer. I mean, these are not words that people should be using, because they're encouraging everybody to be really horrible to one another.
I've been really concerned with how the whole debate's been run. I mean, from the word go in the referendum, actually. I was involved with it, obviously campaigned in it, and it just felt like it was a race to the bottom on politics that I hated. So whatever road we do pick after this, and I genuinely think you'll be able to live with it if you feel like it's truly democratic, but whatever road we pick, we've got some serious questions to ask about how Parliament works, why every single time we ever have a long-term issue facing Parliament, we don't come up with a solution. The only difference on Brexit is that it had a deadline, and we missed that.
Well, every single deadline, every single red line, every single kind of ultimatum has come and gone.
Because it's short-term politics were what people actually want, are long-term solutions, and they'd much rather, and we should have been more honest with them about the trade-offs, about the fact that, frankly, if you have different regulatory systems, one side of a border to the other, you are going to have to do some checks. That's 100% for sure.
But even the EU have said that they could envisage a border without a border checkpoint, as it were, that you could have goods checked in a particular place which would not have to create a physical hard border.
But if this was about getting freedom, the more freedom you have, the harder that becomes. And the bottom line is people break rules when they're not enforced, when they are enforced, let alone when they're not. Mm. So I think...
But isn't it also a bit about
a
perfect world? Isn't it also a bit about people wanting a perfect world which doesn't exist? You can't have a perfect world. You can't have everything you want. I mean, I'd like to be driving around in a Ferrari. I'd like to have to not come and sit down in this beautiful sunshine talking to people like you every single day.
You've got the worst job in the world.
It's not bad, I have to say. It's really not bad. And I'm finished at 1 o'clock as well, so I can even go for lunch. But no, the bottom line is that, you know, people...
Part-timer.
I know. People think that, you know, they can get everything they want. There's a sort of millennial aspect to it that I always complain about, that people, like my daughter's age, they say, oh, but we didn't get what we were expecting, you know.
See, I don't agree with that. I actually think people are really pragmatic. I just think you need to give them the facts and then ask them what their choice is. Like, what's the trade-off that they want to make?
Well, that's what happened. And they're really saying they weren't the facts.
Well, I think if government had been more honest about some of the trade-offs, I think that would have helped. And I think it started during the referendum. Everyone will analyse it to death forever. But in the end, it doesn't change the fact that we've got to take a decision. I think Parliament's gridlocked, so I think people are going to have to do
it. Last final question. I know you're in a hurry. I think it's about leadership as well. There hasn't been any. Theresa May has not shown strong leadership. If there is a leadership election, who will you back for the Tory leader?
I don't know. I think we need to find a direction first. And I think, frankly, that is way more important than who runs the Conservative Party.
Okay. Justin Green, thank you very much indeed. You've heard what Justin had to say. She's very reasonable. She wants to have another referendum. Doctor No, could they? They just found the General James Bond thing, which is not good enough, I'm afraid. I'm going to have to make a complaint. I wanted the Doctor No music because of No that was said 8 times, of course. I've got with Sarah Wollaston here. She's just joined us in the Tent of Shame. We are here, of course, for the 4th day in a row on College Green in Westminster. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham, and you're very welcome to call in, please. 0344 499 1000. Sarah, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Tent of Shame, as we like to call it. And the good news for us is that we're going to be here tomorrow, because Andrew Leadsom says you're going to be back in the House of Commons voting, possibly, on the meaningful vote 3.
Maybe, but certainly
discussing once again where we are supposed to be going, because we don't appear to be going anywhere particularly fast, do we?
I know, you just think, you know, what must this look like to the outside world?
It's a moment
of national shame and national tragedy all rolled into one. And I think that we just need to resolve this.
Yes.
And what's clear from the votes last night is that the largest amount of support across the Commons was for putting it back to the people. And I think that the Prime Minister would have got her deal through months ago if she'd just been prepared to link it to that, because she'd have support from across the Commons. It's clear she can't rely on the DUP and the right wing ERG to get her deal across the line, however much she bribes people.
Well, we'll see. Maybe she's got something up her sleeve. I mean, it seems unlikely, because every time I think she's got something up her sleeve, it turns out she hasn't got something up her sleeve.
Well, the point is that if she offers to separate the withdrawal agreement from the future framework, she's going to lose the little Labour support she had, because people will be nervous that once she's gone and she's replaced with, say, Boris or Jacob Jacob or whoever who's going to be much more on the right, they'll be very nervous of that kind of open-ended.
Well, Steve McCabe was just here telling us precisely that, that an awful lot of Labour MPs who would have voted with the deal if they thought it was getting closer are now kind of worried because of this threat
that she's made.
And, I mean, again, I'm afraid to say this about Theresa May, that she's had an opportunity to solve a problem, and she's kind of made it worse by her tactics. Her tactics have been wrong from the beginning of time.
And it's always been viewed by her, I think, sadly, through the prism of what's right for the Tory party. Well, frankly, most of us, that is just not what is mattering to us. I've left the Tory party because I'm so disgusted by this attitude that somehow this is all about what's right for the Tory party. It's what's right for the nation. And, you know, my view has always been that it's more than 1,000 days since we had the referendum. It's absolutely obvious, blindingly obvious to everybody, that the problem was there's so many different versions of Brexit that nobody had really set out which version of Brexit they were voting for. Well, once we've arrived at knowing which credible version of Brexit we're voting for goodness sake, put it back to the people with an absolute clear promise that we'd move straight away to delivering it if that's what people confirmed they wanted.
But is that a possibility? Because it may well be that there is no sort of true compromise that can be found, which enough people will agree on, because certainly in Parliament it appears that nobody agrees on anything apart from the fact that they don't agree on anything.
But this was always going to be a two-stage process. So the first bit yesterday was for people to say, what's my very first preference?
Yeah.
And in my case, that was to have a confirmatory ballot on what we arrive on. But now we're looking at what all the other decisions were and saying, right, now let's link them together. It's clear that neither camp is going to win on its own. They have to join forces.
Yes.
So we'll see, if you like, combinations of the two on Monday. So it'll be, if you like, the sort of Norway plus model plus a confirmatory ballot. I personally think the Prime Minister tomorrow could get this through, done and dusted, if she just was prepared to not be so obstinate, bring her deal back linked to having a confirmatory ballot, just to check it's got the people's consent. That would sail through the Commons and we could all move on, for goodness sake.
If that is indeed the case, then I would join you in wishing for her to do that. The difficulty is that the whole people's vote argument has gone backwards and forwards and changed and moved and goalposts.
Not really.
It has, because originally it wasn't about confirming anything. It was about saying, oh, hang on, it seems as though people didn't know what they were voting for, so now that we've got so much more information, let's have another vote.
Well, that's right.
Which was immediately thrown out, basically, by Parliament. Now what you're saying is you want a confirmatory vote, i.e. first you get the deal and then you ask people if that's what they want.
They want it with a choice to remain.
It's a slightly different position, isn't it?
I think it's just a matter of terminology, in the sense that you're still saying to people, is this the Brexit deal you want, once we've arrived at which of the very many options it was, or a choice to remain? And the thing is that, you know, once you vote for a referendum, that then has to have a separate bill and an act of Parliament to get it through. And so all the discussions about, you know, would it also include a hard Brexit option as well, that would be for a later day. But what you would be saying absolutely is it has at least as a minimum to include the deal, the Prime Minister's deal, I think it should be, in my view, because at least it's not a unicorn. It's a deliverable, actual thing that has been negotiated with the EU.
Well, it's been agreed, at least, which is more than anything else has been in the House behind us.
Well, and the point is, it's people know what it is.
Mm.
So you have a defined deal, but also a choice to remain. And then at a later date, if that was agreed tomorrow, Parliament would come back and it would have a separate act of Parliament to say, should it also include a hard Brexit option? And that would be for a separate day. But we would know two of the things that would definitely be there would be the Prime Minister's deal and the Remain.
But isn't that intrinsically dishonest, though? Because what you should be really having a debate about is what kind of deal you leave with, OK? So when you put the ballot paper down for the second referendum, you take the view that, well, people have already voted to leave, let's give them this choice, and this is how you leave, either A, B or C. And
yeah,
then you do it that way. But then you take Remain off the table, then.
Why would you take Remain off
the
table?
Because people have already voted to leave.
But I'm afraid the point is that when we had the first referendum, people were promised all sorts of unicorns. A lot of people who voted in that referendum believed genuinely...
I don't know anyone that will say what you're about to say.
No, but a lot of people genuinely believed it would mean £350 million a week extra for the NHS.
No, they didn't.
Side of the bus. I tell you, that was a very powerful argument. A lot of people believed that they could have fantastic free trade deals at our advantage.
Which they could
from all
still
around.
Have.
I'm afraid what we're seeing actually is it's a little bit more complicated
than
that.
Well, yeah, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen, though, does it?
It does, because we were told, if you remember, that by Liam Fox, that at the second we passed midnight, there'd be all these deals arranged from all around the world.
You've been a politician a long time, Sarah. I've been a journalist a long time. Yeah. I don't believe very much that I'm told by politicians.
But I'm afraid you might not, I might not. But actually, the public out there were told all sorts of promises.
Yeah, I know.
You know, look at some of the stuff, the guff they were told by all sorts of people that they could have their cake and eat it.
Yeah,
Mr.
but I
Johnson.
Talked to a lot of people on this show who voted to leave, and not one of them has ever said any of those things.
Well, I'm afraid I've met a lot of people who genuinely are angry because they believed that it would be good for the NHS. I chair the Health and Social Care Select Committee, and week in, week out, I hear evidence of the harm that it will cause to health, to science and research, to social care, to our medical workforce. I'm afraid people were sold a lie, and they deserve the chance, once we know what the deal is on offer, to be able to weigh up the risks and benefits. Let me ask you this question. Would you expect to be wheeled into the operating theatre for an operation that you'd signed a consent for 1,000 days ago, where somebody just said, oh, sign here for an operation? You know, you'd want to know what the operation
certainly
was.
Well, they don't work that quickly. I mean, I'd be waiting longer than 1,000 days.
Actually, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would, actually.
You
but
certainly
listen,
wouldn't.
Let me ask
no,
you a question.
I'm going to take you up on that, because actually, where is your evidence that you'd wait 1,000 days for
joking.
A routine operation? Well, there we are.
Joking.
There we are.
But let me ask you one question. Question, which is what always I get asked to ask you guys who have joined the independent group.
Yeah.
If you're so keen on giving people operations a second time, why would you not have a by-election and stand in Totnes
because
as an independent?
At the moment, I don't have a manifesto that I'd be telling them to vote for. Once we're all up and running as a political party with a defined manifesto, then that's the point you can go back to people. But at the moment, you know, also right in the middle of this crisis, you know, it takes a long time to have a by-election. The point about by-elections and general elections is they don't answer the specific question, because people vote on a range of issues. What we need right now is to answer this central question that is tearing us apart, and for that you need a referendum. I have absolutely no problem, and you know what I've always said, if actually, you know, if it's a choice between putting my job at risk or actually putting my constituents' jobs at risk, you know, actually I am not prepared to vote in a way that I know will make my constituents poorer, because, you know, I have to be able to look them in the eye, and particularly if it's something like no deal, where I know it's going to make them poorer and cause all sorts of real-world harms to health and science. I'm not prepared to look people in the eye and say I'd knowingly and deliberately delivered that. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Sarah Wollaston, a very principled woman, also has a crystal ball as well. Isn't it great?
She's
loving Brexit. Isn't it?
Right.
I mean, it's much nicer in the sunshine, is all I can say, than it was in the rain and the snow.
I'm going to stay here and have a
coffee.
It's lovely.
It's like, please
do. The sun
has come
out.
You're very welcome. I'm sure there'll be loads of people that have issues with what you've just said as well. But thank you very much indeed, Dr. Sarah Wollaston. 0344 499 1000 is the number. This is Talk Radio.
No, no, no. No, no, no. The news habit. Order!
Don't look, or you'll never know.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham, brought to you in association with The Times. It's politics tamed. There's certainly an awful lot of politics going on. I'm not sure how tamed it is, though, because, of course, eight times last night did the politicians behind us in the Palace of Westminster, all the MPs, say no rather than yes. It was niet, it was nein, it was non, it was any number of different ways of saying no. I've got David Davis with me here, a Tory MP for Monmouth, who recently said yes, actually, to Theresa May's deal. How do you say no in Welsh, by the way?
Nah.
So, well, you said yeah last night a few times, didn't you?
Yeah, because we were being asked to vote for a second referendum, which I think would be an absolute outrage. Let's go back and tell, 17.5 million people, you got it all wrong. You're not allowed to have that opinion because a bunch of MPs with university degrees living in the M25 think that they know better than you are. Well, I absolutely will not sign up for that under any circumstances. Yes. I think it'd be a disgrace. I'll take the deal, though, and I think it's now time for anyone who supports Brexit to take this deal. Dominic Cummings, who ran the Leave campaign, yes, has said, take the deal. It's right. The only game in town.
Yeah, he's been quite rude about the old ERG group today. I was reading in the Times earlier on this morning. But...
Well, Dominic's not known for being courteous to anyone particularly, but yes.
Well, listen, let me just take a couple of quick calls, if you don't mind, because we're almost out of time. We're here until 1 o'clock. Yeah. Matthew Wright's coming up then as well. We've had an amazing show again with some great calls. Let's go back to them now. Shane is in Derby. He wants to talk about a second referendum. Sorry, Vernon is in Worcester. I beg your pardon. Vernon, very good afternoon.
How are you, Mike? I definitely don't want to talk about a second referendum because I think it's outrageous.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
For me, ultimately, Mike, I'm just so disappointed and feel tremendously let down in the elite of Westminster, as I call them, that building of shame. No offence to your gentleman who's with it at the moment. I just find it preposterous, very upsetting, very distressing. Democracy is finished.
Now, you're upset that Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg have capitulated and backed Theresa May's deal. Sitting next to me, David Davis, has also done that. So what's your message to him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we voted to leave. We didn't vote to leave with a deal. We voted to leave. That is all that we voted. We'd like to have a deal. It's not possible. And I need the MPs to grow a pair and just follow it through. The deal that Theresa May is offering is not Brexit. They've opposed it all the way along, and now they're compromising. And I think, yeah, you compromise if there is something worth compromising on. This is just to save face, and I think it's preposterous. Is this not Brexit? Not what we voted for?
Well, why don't you have a listen to what David's going to say to you about
it? What I'll say to you, Vernon, is I was out there campaigning for it. I know you voted for it. We both believe in Brexit. I voted last night for a no-deal Brexit. It had 160 votes. There are 650 MPs, and I can't ignore the maths. I'm really sorry about that. We need 326 to be willing to back that. I was one of them. Give me another 325 or whatever the number we need is, and we'll be happy. But we haven't got it, and therefore we've got a simple choice here, Vernon. We either take that deal, we make it better over the next 2 years. We have to have somebody in who's prepared to say at the end of a 2 year period, if we're being messed around by the European Union, we'll walk away completely. We need that kind of leadership. We need members of the cabinet with confidence in this country, the confidence which you and 17.5 million other people have shown. But if we don't take it now, we're going to lose everything. And believe me, those elites who you've referred to, who do exist, will not allow us to win a second referendum. They will not even probably allow us to have another proper referendum. And they will keep us in the European Union forever. So it's now or never. That's why I say to everyone, we've got to take that deal.
The problem is we don't believe you. I'm sorry. You MPs, ultimately, I know you voted to leave and everything else yourself, but the majority are Remainers. It was never going to get through. I want Boris and Jacob Rees-Mogg to hold tight and just show the people who are going to betray Brexit, and that will be Parliament. And we will remember. We will never forget, and democracy is finished. It's preposterous. I think.
Who's your MP?
I haven't got a clue. I'm sorry. I'm in Worcester. It's a very nice part of the world, and I'll just deal with whatever comes our way. I just do not want to remain in the EU. I've got no issues with the EU. We're better on our own. We're stronger on our own.
Okay, listen.
Well, I agree with all of that, but listen, Vernon, please don't let's all fall apart out with each other. I mean, that is another thing that they want to do, which is to divide that 17.5 million people and have us all split up and arguing with each other. Let's remember who the real enemy is. I wouldn't call the EU the enemy, but it is the opposition and all those who are supporting it. We have to stick together, and I promise you, I was out there more than anyone else in Wales anyway, campaigning for Brexit. Dominic Cummings, who led Vote Leave, campaigning for Brexit, saying it's not a good deal, but it's the only game in town. We've got. If we don't take that now, we're going to be in the EU forever.
Vernon, thanks very much indeed for your call. We're seeing now that there is no meaningful vote likely to come on Friday, which tells me that Theresa May has not yet managed to get the numbers that she needs, because she doesn't want to go for it unless she's going to win.
I'm just seeing this now. This is actually quite significant, because it had to go through by Friday.
Yeah.
Or we have to go back to the European Union. And
because the deadline, my understanding, was the deadline's 11 o'clock tomorrow, isn't it?
I thought it was the end of the day, but it doesn't really matter. It had to go through. That deal had to go through on Friday, or we go back to the European Union. What I fear is going to happen now is that we will end up going back to the European Union, fighting European Union elections and having a long extension. Yeah. This is exactly what we didn't want to
happen. But we were told that the EU didn't want us to do that either. Let's go to Mike in York, who's going to be our final call today. Mike, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mike. Good afternoon.
Yes. David's here. You haven't got a lot of time, I'm afraid, so get on with it.
Okay, then. Just like Momentum's infiltrated Labour,
yeah,
UKIP has infiltrated the Conservatives. So when these MPs go for their selection, how many of them think they're going to get through the first stage?
For the next election you're talking about?
Yeah, and the next election's very soon. All we've got to do now is, I keep saying it, Corbyn, all he's got to do is put no confidence, DUP support him, and we've got a general election.
Well, that could well happen. David Davis is sitting next to me. What do you reckon the likelihood of
that? That could well happen. The irony is, of course, some of the people in the very extremes of the Conservative Party might be the one that bring the government down. That's in some ways even more likely than the DUP, because, of course, the last thing they will want is a former IRA sympathiser, a man who actually invited IRA terrorists into the House of Commons for a cup of tea within weeks of the Brighton bomb. You know, the DUP aren't going to really want him as Prime Minister, but there are some Conservative, a small handful of Conservative MPs, who unfortunately just cannot see reason, and I fear actually might sit on their hands if it came to a motion of no confidence. I certainly think an election with this news now, a general election, is a lot more likely now than it was 5 minutes ago.
It may well be. Mike, thanks very much indeed for your call. We'll hear from you again very shortly. We're back tomorrow, of course. David, I mean, it's fascinating. Tomorrow there's going to be more action in the House of Commons, but it's not going to lead us anywhere. From what you've just said, we are now closer, you heard it here first, to a general election than we were 5 minutes ago. Coming up, Matthew Wright is going to be here taking over at 1 o'clock with Kevin O'Sullivan, of course. We'll be back in the Tent of Shame tomorrow morning. Don't forget to listen to Talk Radio throughout the day and throughout the night as well, because we will bring you first all of the big action from the House of Parliament. Behind us, the Palace of Westminster, the Palace of Shame, as I'm now beginning to call it. The news coming out right now that there will be no meaningful vote on Friday. Therefore, we will possibly be fighting European elections as well come May. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We'll see you tomorrow.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.